Yeah.
The subdivision is currently zoned R2, whereas the adjacent properties, we maintain the agricultural AG. The variance request creates an abrupt jump in density that disrupts the prevailing context, look, feel, and the adjacent agricultural properties. We have been told that every single tree will be removed to build the subdivision, as well as the ones on the front of the property. Francis Road. Such a density change disrupts the visual harmony, infringing upon our rights and our expectations of our neighboring landowners. The altercation of setbacks to 25 to 5 feet will impose substantial negative impacts on the surrounding AG zone properties. A reduction in the setback distances infringes upon our established expectation as property owners. We have been on the property for over 25 years. My husband's uncle was there before where we are now. And if you grant this, where those lines are on the property, we have been told that we will have to remove our fencing on the back and the side of our properties, as well as our neighbor to the facing Francis to the right. They are asking for an easement onto his driveway. So disrupting our privacy is a big change that will happen on both right and left sides of all of us with that. Closer proximity between structures will result in increased sight lines into neighboring properties, undermining the sense of seclusion and quiet enjoyment that we have had. And there are qualities for which the original setbacks and ordinances are in place to preserve. Such a proposed variance equates to foreseeable and unjustifiable altercations to the community, which will cause undue hardship for current property owners adjacent to the subdivision. The setbacks are there to be established. The ordinances are in place in part to act as a transitional buffer between the different zoning districts, maintaining the distant characteristics and functions of each zone. They help to preserve the rural agricultural nature of AG zone lands by creating a visual and spatial separation from higher density residential zones like RN2. Likewise, they are in place to help minimize conflicts arising from incompatible land uses. They act as a protective barrier against potential nuisance, such as noise, lights, or incompatible activities that might emanate from a higher density residential area and impact the peaceful functioning of an agricultural property. So, in conclusion, we are asking that this variance be denied. The variance to reduce rear setbacks from 25 to 5 feet lacks substantial grounds within city zoning practices and significantly alters the established context and character of our community. Granting such a variance would impose undue hardship and disruption to our property and would not serve the best interest.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but your time's over. If you could just wrap it up.
Okay. Thank you. And that's all. We just ask that it be denied.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. As the applicant, is anyone else here to speak in opposition? Okay. Would you like a couple of minutes to rebut?
Sure. Aaron Gray, 2160 Lakeside Center Way. A couple of things to address on this. So the disturbance of the land that she mentioned actually would be relatively the same in either scenario. So the overall, the disturbance based on the homes and the driveways would not really be any different for either layout. The other, most of the houses on the layout that we've requested, more of them will actually be further away from the neighboring property lines than the one that was approved. There are a couple that are different, but the, most of them will actually be further away. So I think at the end of the day, there's less driveway, more space between the lots, and it'll just be an overall cleaner look. So this request is an attempt to make this more organized. At the end of the day, the disturbance is not really going to be any different, and the spacing of the homes is not going to be any further away from the lots, the neighboring lot lines, or any closer, really. So I don't think that you know, really would play into this. In fact, the based on the layout that we've given, we've still provided in the sliver on the north, we're still 20 feet or 25 feet away from the lot lines on that side. And on the sliver on the south, we're still further away from that as well. So I think that this is a more appropriate layout and is more consistent with the subdivision regulations. And that's why we request approval.
Thank you. Discussion among the board.
Aaron, I'm going to ask a question real quick. If I'm counting right, I mean, if we approve this today, you pick up a lot.
That's correct.
Okay, so the density is getting a little bit.
The density does change. That's correct.
Okay. And help me understand. I don't, from reading the listening, I'm not sure I get what your hardship is.
So the hardship is based on the driveway layouts. If you go to the one that was approved at the subdivision regulations, you can see, again, this one meets the letter of the code, but as you look at it, there obviously a significant amount more just driveway construction, access points, people coming to and fro, as far as how they access onto the driveways and onto the roads. So this works. The other one is just an attempt to make it more organized and more consistent with what you would normally see. It also helps with this layout will also be more of a challenge in terms of laying the topography in those two slivers as well. It'll be easier to build and construct the other one as well.
If I may interject, this layout is not up to the code. Currently, we have approved this with the condition that this layout needs to be changed. A SPAE can serve up to 5 lots, but these are 6 lots. So it needs to be revised. And we have added this as a condition of the approval.
Okay.
We were aware of the condition and that we understand that needs to be adjusted.
So I'll say, I think in a case like this, when it's new construction and it's hard to understand a true hardship in this case, because it feels very much manufactured by a desire for a few more lots. So, you know, while I certainly understand what's being requested, it's a want, not a true hardship by our paper. So I have a hard time being able to, I guess, go along with that, knowing just what we're charged to do.
I kind of feel the same on this one, to be real honest with you. I think that the shape of the parcel is weird, but we've already divided this in a lot. And I don't see a good reason to go after more density by approving this. Personally, I get a little bit in terms of the layout and I suspect that if you reduced the number of houses though, that we could potentially adjust the layout with going less dense in as much as we can go the other direction. It just means that the lots get bigger and there's less lots to sell. And so I kind of feel like the arbitrage here is a little bit of a I don't want to call it a false comparison, but it's not a clean comparison in my mind that would justify a hardship.
Aaron, can you go into the topography a little bit more between lots 30 and 33, how that plays and the need for the hardship based in the topography there?
You have to tell me which one. I don't recall.
That's
which
the plan south side.
31 and 33.
To go down. Nope, too far. One more page up. Right there. Between 31 and 33, that section right through there.
So the topography there generally slopes from south to north. And the idea for the grading in this area is that it would be able to keep the road up high, closer to the existing elevation of the property line, and then be able to build the homes downhill. And if you flip it the way that it was on the one that was approved, you'd basically be cutting those house seats into the grading, into the contouring. So this would allow the road to sit up higher and then the houses to be built down the slope.
So using the road to create a buffer.
That's correct.
And how about on the north side up against the railroad?
It's a similar scenario where you've got the existing, being able to put the existing or the proposed road on elevation, and the topography in that one generally slopes kind of from southwest to northeast. And it's kind of the same deal, which again is by having a deeper buffer on the south of those houses will allow us to grade that area in to be able to put those houses on pad and on grade. With the other layout, again, you're kind of in the same scenario where you're going to have multiple houses at different elevations that would basically kind of be a staggered step down look to it. So on that other, the layout that was sent to concept before, it would have all the houses in that scenario would be probably at different elevations, step down, whereas this one would be more uniform.
Answer your questions.
I think so.
Any further discussion?
Knowing the layouts and I absolutely see the necessity for simplifying the plan from a safety, from a fire access, all of those things. This is a much better plan. And I understand why they've come and asked for the request. I struggle with the lack of buffer between the property line and the roadway. And wish there could be more there.
And again, that would be a scenario where those four units right there could push to in the north, but that which would generate another request.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I think mine still goes back to, these lots are being created on a private drive or driveway because they can't meet the road requirements to begin with. And so I think, to me, we're cramming too much density into, a shape of a property that really doesn't want it. And it's not an existing condition that we're trying to work around. We're just simply trying to put more on it. Yes, I completely agree. I understand where we're coming from, a safety and just organizational, even visual. But it's a manufactured situation based on a desire for more, as opposed to having some other real justification. Yeah, I don't think topography can be claimed if the whole thing can be developed. It's not.
And I would, because I think you could enlarge your parcel size and end up with a very similar orientation if you chose to do that. It just means less lots. And so that's why everything that I respect and hear everything Brad's saying, but there's another solution to the orientation to accomplish and, those topographic issues. It is a weird shaped lot. When it's new development, it's a hard judgment call, but there's a line there from my perspective of when we're just adding to add and when you can do it a little bit differently. So
I was hoping, after everyone on the board spoke that we'd be able to hear the hardship. I'm still not, after hearing everybody's responses, not sure it's a hardship that has been articulated. So for those reasons, I'm going to make a motion to deny 11-F-23VA.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion from the board? Okay, hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
All right. This motion has passed, which means the variance is rejected.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. On to new business. We have item 12A23VA. While our applicant makes their way to the podium, can we hear staff comments?
This is a change of use at this location, and because of that, there's a recalculation of parking. Other than that, there is nothing else to talk about on this one.
Thank you. If you will, state your name and address for the record.
Sheev Patel at 6142 Pembridge Road. I'm actually here on behalf of Meghna Patel as a representative, so just wanted to make that note prior to starting, but we are in the process of establishing a liquor store at our lease location at 742 North Hall of Fame Drive. Our plan is to utilize 3,690 square feet of the total 6,700 square feet for the liquor store, and the remaining space would be inventory. And so we're seeking a variance due to insufficient parking. It's important to note that we have a CAT bus station within a quarter mile away from the location. So, to our knowledge, this should allow us to, get a 30% reduction in the parking requirements. And so I think that brings us down to required 14 spaces and we currently have 11. And so considering the hardship is in place, prior to us leasing the location, we would like to kindly request a variance for the parking requirement to be dropped.
Thank you. Do we have anyone here to speak in favor? Anyone to speak in opposition? Very good. So we'll open it for board discussion.
I'm counting a little bit different parking. The variance is asking for a reduction to 10, right? I think I see 9 on the site plan.
Here's the 10th.
Oh.
In the front, there's a parallel spot in front.
But she just said 11.
It's the handicap.
We currently
log.
Currently 10, sorry. It's the same.
Okay.
No, it's 10. He said he said it wrong.
Hey, Sheev, let me ask a question real quick. I'm back up here. there's lots of parking around this property. Have you all sought any leases for leasing any property or parking or anything from the neighbors? I mean, there's a whole lot right behind this property.
Yeah. So if you're looking behind it, are you talking about, I guess, on the rear side? If I remember correctly, I think that's owned by the Fraternal Order of Police. And we had talked to a few folks. I think that railway right there creates some issues there. In terms of the lease, we actually know the owner of the property, if you look at that picture to the south. And so we had discussed leasing some spaces in the rear there too. But I guess given the fact, I talked to a few people in the city and they had mentioned, you know, that building's vacant right now. So if we lease the space now and then that use changes downtime, and, you know, they're using those spaces that we leased, that could create a hardship or create some issues there. And the building to the north of us, those guys stay pretty packed through business hours. And so we haven't really discussed with them, but we've definitely talked to the people in the south. And I've also reached out to the Fraternal Order of Police to discuss leasing spaces in the back. But even then, the accessibility, I mean, you know, to get to the property from the rear, you would essentially have to walk on, you have to walk on the property's line south of us and walk through there to get to us. So we did seek options there, but it just felt like getting the requirement reduced would be the most simple way to go about it.
Okay, thanks.
I've got a question just for clarification. So the parking variance stays with the property in perpetuity versus the use. So if the use were to change again in 10 years, the variance would remain?
It's tied to the use. Yeah, so a change of occupancy would require someone to come back.
That's correct. Whenever there's a change of use, that triggers a reevaluation of parking. But otherwise, if the use stays the same and the business just changes hands, yes, the variance stays on the property.
I think, to me, this is one of those cases that between Hall of Fame and the railroad tracks, not to mention existing building on an existing lot, they're due seem to be legitimate hardships if there's not, short of tearing down part of the building, which I don't think we advocate for, is just a foreseeable option there. Just it does seem like this is a reasonable hardship.
Madam Chair, may I add a little context?
Yes, please.
The previous legal use was retail, which functions very similarly to and probably has the same parking count as a liquor store. And because it's a change of use as identified in the use matrix, we're required to reevaluate parking. And so just for context.
Yeah. Okay.
I move that we accept the variance request as it's written and reduce it from 14 spaces to 10.
I second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right, we're ready for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? All right, this motion has passed. Okay, on to 12B23VA, and as our applicant's making his way to the podium, any further staff comments?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Please state your name and address.
Taylor Forrester, 1111 North North Shore Drive, Suite S700, Knoxville, Tennessee. I believe I do have one or two people participating via Zoom, one being the project architect, Michael Knapp. Figured I'd introduce it and cite the grounds for the variance request and the hardship basis, and any more technical questions could be asked of Mr. Knapp. So the proposed project is a development of 194 unit multifamily development. This development will include a 10% workforce housing unit ratio. The requested variance isn't related to the transparency requirements of the ordinance. The ordinance requires a minimum transparency requirement on the front facade ground floor of 30%, and that's measured between 2 feet and 10 feet. The property, I don't know if you're familiar with the area just by looking at it, but it's East Hill Avenue along the bluff there where the river runs. If you're familiar with that area, that area has steep grades and changes in the topography, and this site does as well. It falls from 935 feet at the southwest corner by 20.4 feet down to approximately 915 feet and then back up to 921 feet. Because of the topography and the irregular shape of the lot, the project there's a requirement of the development of foundation walls into the project, and that's what's really kind of eating into this, satisfying this transparency requirement at the full 30%. The project layout does comply with the downtown design guidelines and accomplishes those objectives set forth therein. And this is still kind of foreign to me, but it creates a building wrap. I know all of y'all are familiar with that and what that exactly means, but being able to accomplish that objective and considering the irregular lot shape has been a challenge that the client's been able to achieve. The design guidelines provide that the minimum transparency requirement on the first floor, kind of the purpose of that is the intended to enhance the pedestrian interest in commercial and office buildings. So this project strictly limited to residential. It's on the peripheral of the downtown design, where the downtown design guidelines control. There wasn't a requirement of any kind of commercial activity here because it's not really pedestrian oriented and necessarily of commercial activity or office activity in the area. The reduction is the minimum transparency requirement. Reduction in the minimum transparency requirement is nominal. It's from 30% to 25%. The variance request that we are requesting, this 5% reduction, is the minimum adjustment necessary. The granting of the variance is in harmony with the general intent and purpose of the code and not in conflict with the general plan. Based on the difficult and sloping topography and irregular lot shape, and consistent with the requirements for approving variances under the code, we request that you grant the variance, reducing the ground floor front facade minimum transparency requirement from 30% to 25%, as measured between 2 feet and 10 feet of that ground floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak for or against? It sounds like you have some other people online, but they're
to clean up and aid.
Okay. Is there anyone online to speak in opposition that we are aware of? Okay. No? Okay. All right. Board discussion. So I don't mind starting here a little bit on, you know, this is one we see a lot, and especially when you have a sloped site. And I think these diagrams do a nice job of showing that oftentimes when you have a sloped ground, it doesn't correlate with the floor of where it is in the building. And so you end up with these kind of odd spots that they're not really where you would normally put windows. So I can certainly understand how this comes to be, that most of the places, if you look along those diagrams that are in this package, it's along the slope that we actually see where we're missing that transparency. So thank you for those diagrams, they're very helpful. And I'm not really sure practically how you would, you know, how I would approach that, given the topography. Yeah. I know half of my package won't load. So one of the problems with the, they're so graphic heavy that sometimes it,
I've noticed
we're
that.
Still yeah. waiting.
I have a copy if that helps anybody.
Yeah. Looks like some of them are starting to load.
There it goes.
Is the lot to the, what is that going to be? That's the west side, west-ish side of the property there, surface lot. Is that going to be just for the purpose of the apartment building, or is it?
That'll be a different owner. The existing owner from that subdivided the property who we're buying this portion from. I'm not exactly sure what the plan is there. That's an old SunTrust Bank, I believe, building.
Right, but this site plan, I think there's like an appendage that goes across that west side of the property. That's a part of this parcel, right? I'm just trying to make sure I understand what I'm looking at. The
which are you?
Yeah, there's a portion of surface parking.
It appears that it's a C shape that you have the driveway coming down.
So
and then it connects around.
If I might.
Sure. Go ahead. Please state your name and address before you begin.
So I'm Walter Oshesky. I'm with Ridge House Companies, the applicant. I represent the applicant. We're in St. Louis, Missouri, 1600 South Brentwood Boulevard.
Thank you. That,
I believe what you're asking is the lot kind of to the southwest. That'll be a shared access for the redevelopment of the building to the west, northwest, and that they're redeveloping that. Their intent and the way it's approved right now is for a self-storage facility. The parking will be parking for the apartment complex, but it acts as their access drive for the storage facility.
Thank you.
There seems to be a hardship in this case to me, but I just wonder, and it seems like it may be the minimum adjustment necessary as well, but I'm just curious, what will be your alternative if we were to deny today? Like, what would you do?
I have to ask Mr. Knapp to chime in.
Yeah.
Or Walter. Walter could address
that. So I'll jump in here and I'll let Michael add some context. We've evaluated this, and the impact would be just architecturally unappealing. I mean, the significant alteration of it adds some definite structural reevaluation to the building that we'd have to evaluate, but significantly, it just architecturally doesn't flow, and it's not consistent with the design of the remainder of the building or what was approved in the original architectural review. I'll let Michael, he might be able to be a little more specific if you have more specific questions.
This is Michael with NSPJ Architects. We're officed in Prairie Village, Kansas. If you need our address, I can be more specific, but I think Walter did a good job describing how the building would change if we were to try to introduce more transparency in the limited amount of building which is available to us between 2 and 10 feet above grade. What you get is a facade which is very incongruous, where there's a lot of windows where you wouldn't expect them, and then they don't align with the windows above, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things we theoretically could do, because the ordinance language says that the measurement is above grade. If you can imagine what is building foundation wall could be pulled away from the building and made retaining wall, and then you would have grade near the building. And then technically we would meet the requirements as is without a variance, but on the site you would have a sidewalk and then a large retaining wall, then a plateau of grade near the building, which we think is not the correct solution for the site. I think it might be worthwhile to point out also that the intent of the ordinance is to provide transparency where there are pedestrians. There is a bus stop across from this site. If you have access to the Exhibit B key plan, that bus stop is between if you look at the key plan there, the elevation indicators, the bus stop is between elevation indicator, it's tiny on my screen, 1 and 2, right? And so if you look at building elevation number 2, where we kind of have the pilaster arcade, where there's the most transparency, it happens, or by somewhat intent, right? The most transparent part of the building is situated near where we anticipate there to be the most pedestrian activity at the bus stop, which is kind of nice.
Thank you. Well, it sounds like I said earlier, it sounds like there is a hardship there, as well as you all have considered alternatives and ways around that as well. So I don't have any more questions regarding this.
I'll make a motion to approve 12B23VA as it is submitted.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
We've said yes to other variances, requests similar to this, based on topography and how it interacts with transparency. I think it's appropriately situated on the site. It is a weird parcel shape to start with, but beyond that, just the topography there, I think, is a good justification.
Any further? All right, so we'll entertain a vote now. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Very good. Your motion has passed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In terms of other business, our board member, Ebony James, will be leaving us after this meeting. She's resigning from the board effective today. So thank you, Ebony, for your service here, and we'll very much miss you and dedication to what you do here with us. Our next meeting will be held on January 16th, 2024 in room 461 of the City County Building. With that, we adjourn today's meeting.